Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 22 of season 5. It's called Imaginary Friend. In this episode, a child's imaginary playmate threatens the well-being of the Enterprise. Directed by Gabriel Beaumont, teleplay goes to Ida Swenson and Brennan Braga. Story goes to Gene Mateus, Ronald Wilkerson, and Richard Flegel. Some real good names on that one. Aired back on May 4th, 1992. Modi's here to talk about this one. It's Imaginary Friend. It's an episode that I think is somewhat maligned, but we'll see after this break what me and Modi think about Imaginary Friend.
Isabella, how come I can see you?
Is something wrong with the way I look?
No, it's just I've never seen you before. Not for real.
Well, now you can see me for real. Doesn't that make you happy?
Yes, it's wonderful.
Can we go now?
Better finish planting the seeds first.
I'm tired of planting. Let's do something else.
Like what?
Like, I would really like to explore the ship.
We better finish planting first. I promised Keiko.
We can finish later. Let's go look around.
I better ask my daddy.
Your daddy won't mind. We can tell him later. Come on.
Modi, welcome back to Season 5 of The Next Generation, otherwise known as the season where every other goddamn episode has a kid in it.
Yeah, a lot of family, a lot of kids, all that stuff here.
I didn't remember all these kid episodes. They just keep coming. Alexander sort of makes sense, but I feel like this just, it's kid after kid after kid. There was the Data becoming human one, or whatever, suddenly human, or whatever that was called. There's been a bunch of this, and now we're up to Imaginary Friend, which is, it even has friend in the title. It's about a little girl. It doesn't really focus on any of our cast members. So what are your general thoughts about Imaginary Friend?
I was weirded out for the first like half of it, and then I kind of got on board towards the end of it. I don't know. The creepy kid thing is just, I don't know, it's a bit much sometimes. Especially Isabella. It was a little bit too creepy, I think. But that's what they're going for, too. I mean, that's what they're going for, so I don't know.
I was in a tough spot because, on one hand, the kid actors are weird. There's the girl who plays Clara, who's like the main character of the episode, and then there's the girl who plays her imaginary friend, Isabella. The girl who played Isabella has the harder role because she has to act like an evil person, but some of the lines they gave her, I was impressed that someone so young could memorize what she has to say in some of this, where she's talking about like quantum power and draining the warp engines and everything.
It was pretty good. Yeah, that's true. I that's like I said, I was like weirded out at first, but I got on board at the end here with Isabella.
I thought that the Clara girl actually did a pretty good job at acting. Like
it seemed like a little too saccharine at first, but then I was like, you know what, actually I'm buying it actually for a kid that's whatever, 8.
Yeah.
That makes sense, I guess.
Yep.
I don't know.
It's a Yeah, it's an episode I think it's sort of maligned. I can sort of see what that is. I mean, I guess my general point with the Imaginary Friend episode would be, I think that the concept's kind of interesting. I think it's a terrible script. And like the more you think about it, the more stupid the script actually becomes. Because there's a, like, this is just one example. The scene here where they run into, they're running down the hallway and they run into Worf, right? And Worf sees the imaginary friend. It has no outcome on anything. Like, there's no point for that except later on, Picard's like, Mr. Worf, there's an alien who's assumed a girl's thing. She's got blonde hair. And Worf's like, is she wearing a blue dress? And he goes, yes. He's like, oh, I saw her.
That's weird.
And that's pretty much it. There's no reason for that scene to ever exist. And there's no, it's not like Worf would realize something was amiss by meeting them.
Right.
They didn't write it that way. It's just like, it's full of these terrible scripting things that don't really go anywhere.
Yeah, they could have done more with that idea of one person seeing her and no one else. I mean, that's the thing. It's like the kids on the ship are generally ignored anyways, is the idea behind it, I guess.
Yeah.
And Worf is supposed to represent that kids are mostly ignored. And that's why we never see them on the show too often, unless they're a main character of the episode.
Yes, unless they somehow make their way to engineering, which doesn't have a lock on the door. You can just walk in. You're just not supposed to, which is too bad. I mean, another major script thing would, why does the alien assume this identity?
Yeah, we had some thoughts about that. And my wife and I watched this together for the most part here. And my take on it is that she was the only one that was open to the idea of someone new showing up. Like because it went around analyzing all these different things. Like the people, it was in medical, it was in engineering, it was with Geordi. And like they're not going to take to – there's no way in there basically. And then they find this kid talking to themselves. And they're like, okay, that's my way in. So I think they're just trying to figure out at the time when they're flying around there – which I do like that scene where the thing's weaving in and out of like objects and stuff. It's
kind of
cool.
Very Tinkerbell. It's a very Tinkerbell kind of thing. Yeah, where it's hiding from people in plain sight, sort of.
Tinkerbell with ghost properties.
Yeah, so in a perfect sphere with a diamond in the middle, whatever it was.
My take on it is that Clara is the only person that's looking for someone and can be duped, maybe. Is the idea, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I can buy that. Are you like that? That's not bad to me, but the... I guess the problem is the alien, what's the alien trying to do, right?
That's another good point. Yeah, it's a good point.
I guess it's trying to get energy. So I don't understand why it picks the exact wrong person to accomplish that goal. You know, where it could just fly into Geordi's head and sort of get his knowledge and then shoot the energy out into the space or whatever. it doesn't do that. And then it just kind of, it all wraps up like, I think what's interesting about this episode is that at the end, it brings up a point that I don't think the episode is actually making, but it makes it sound like a way cooler where Picard's like, you don't understand us because you have the mind of a child, which...
It doesn't make sense, yeah.
That doesn't make any sense in terms of what the episode was doing. It's kind of a cool reveal. I wish that had actually been what the episode was about, but he just brings it up at the end and it's like, oh, you don't trust adults because we tell you what to do, and that's why you're mad. And it's like, well, that hasn't been the point of this alien.
Yeah, no. It's trying to put too fine a point on something that wasn't, like you said, part of the episode, really. It wasn't really the point of the episode. And also, that goes in the face of my theory of, like, oh, they analyze other people, and Clara's the only one that'd be open to being duped by this creature. But then again, it has a fundamental misunderstanding of everything around it.
Right.
And so it didn't have the mind of a child when it took the form of a child. It just, I don't know, what is this thing when it's not a person? Like, it's just that little energy orb that we saw a few other things be. But, like, what is it? Is that its natural state? Is just energy?
Right.
And does it, like, energy trying to comprehend humanity? I don't know.
I can,
do they have personalities besides the one that Clara invented for Isabella? Is there any personality to these little creatures or not?
Well, they seem to, because she's like, I'm going to call my friends and we're going to kill you. So it seems like they're sort of sentient, at least. Like they're aware of what's going on. But I totally agree that it doesn't make any sense as to what the plot is saying about why it became a little girl. And then it ultimately, it has a knowledge of the universe that is outside a child's mind, but it still somehow doesn't understand people.
Well, this could have been a very more interesting episode had it found Guinan instead of Clara.
Yes.
And done Guinan's imaginary friend instead.
Yeah. and it just gores Worf.
Razor Beast comes to life. Yeah, yeah.
I kind of forgot that Guinan's in this episode, and she has a big part of it.
Uh-huh.
Like, and it's weird because I haven't seen Guinan in a while. So seeing her here, It's very clear that she crushes a lot of the rest of the cast when she has to act something that's not particularly that interesting. She has this story about a Tarkesian razor beast or something that she was her imaginary friend, and she talks to Troy about it. And is this a Troy episode, would you say?
This is a Troy episode, yeah. Okay. Yeah, this is a Troy episode. You can't tell because it's just share her screen time with the little girl.
Yeah.
But it's actually not that bad as far as a Troy episode goes. You actually get to see Troy doing what her job probably should be for the most part. And I honestly, if you wanted to do a show that was just a therapist on a starship, I might watch that show, honestly.
Yeah.
But, you know, just having a monster of the week kind of thing or problem of the week, kind of like how this one episode is, just, you know, different psychological things come up, I could watch that show.
Yeah, it certainly, you'd think it would be ripe with the starship stuff for... like some kind of like mental disorder or whatever.
It's
like
house, but on a starship, yeah.
Because, I mean, for a kid, like this little girl has been traveling, you know, our main cast members never seems to get moved around, but everybody else seems to constantly be transferring ships.
A lot of turnover this season, too, I will say. There's a lot of new faces coming through here.
That's true.
Every single episode.
Yeah, you see additions, you don't really see subtractions. And I mean, like, that's Geordi true. Was talking about how, you know, I guess his parents were together, but they didn't serve together all the time. So he'd be bouncing back and forth between this starship and that starship. And it's like, wow, that's a crazy environment for a kid to be brought up in. Which was a nice grounding for the imaginary friend concept that made sense. It's just kind of a weird story that they tacked on top of it. Although,
I did like that scene though with Geordi and the father.
Yeah, Mr.
talking
Mr.
about
Mr.
the
Sutter.
I did like that scene quite a bit.
the politics and engineering make me laugh where they're talking about what they want to name the nebula, which is called like F572, and Geordi's like, we should call it the LaForge Nebula. And the guy walks over and he's like, how about we call it the Sutter Nebula? And everyone just ignores him and he walks away.
It's like, oh, is that your name? Oh, good. Okay, I was wondering that. I was wondering when we would get that out there, finally.
We didn't have to wait for the credits. I mean,
yeah.
This one's kind of, it doesn't really have a B story, right?
Not really.
It's just, it talks about the being stuck in the nebula.
Yeah, the B story is the stuck in the nebula stuff, which is just ties right back into the A story. So I guess in that way, it's good.
Yeah.
But there's not much of a B story.
I think it ties so cleanly into the A story, I just consider it part of the A story.
Yeah, that's true.
In a way, like it's so similar to it. Alexander's in this episode as well.
Getting every single episode he's in, he gets a little bit better, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree. I think he was pretty good in this one.
Yeah.
Even when you clearly see the extra's hand knock the dough over at his little chalice or whatever he's building at the end, I laughed at that. He handles it well. It's who'd have thought that Worf would be taking him to zoos on other planets?
Yeah, Worf a good dad all of a sudden.
Yeah, things are changing, I guess, and things are improving for him. Yeah, I mean, did you have anything that you really liked about this show in general? Is there anything that you're like, wow, they should have gone further with that or something?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I think that they could have played more with the thing, like with some people seeing her and some people not seeing her,
right?
And done more of the stuff like Worf and made that actually go someplace. But I don't know. It was fine. It was fine, I guess.
Just a fine episode. It's
still kind of middle of the road episode, really.
Yeah. That'll be interesting for the final thought breakdown, I guess, just because I do think that the concept here of this alien assuming a child's like imaginary friend, it's a very chalky kind of storyline, which is a book I used to read a lot about, an imaginary friend. But it's kind of a neat concept. It's unfortunate that you have to rely on child actors to get the point across. And it's just kind of, it feels so lazy on the alien's part. I think the weakest part of this is that the alien doesn't make any sense.
Right. Yeah. There's a couple of things that don't add up like that. I like the concept of the webs draining energy from the ship. I like that idea.
Yep.
I don't like the resolution to the story though. With Picard just making a speech and then winning the alien over to the other side.
Yeah, that feels very just, early season, doesn't it?
It's like a father's knows best kind of thing. I don't know what's going on there exactly. It's like he just says, oh, well, you don't understand that this is how we are. We protect our people.
Are you only able to communicate by threatening small children? And then it appears and talks to him. Yeah, he doesn't.
Far too serious, yeah.
He doesn't even. There's no like moral dilemma to talk to the alien about. It's just
it's
like.
True. He invents it.
It's like,
he's like projecting his own moral dilemma on it. Yeah,
that's it. And I also thought that I don't think those aliens deserved to get any energy at the end.
Why help? I guess it was for your own self-preservation to escape. But then it's like you're being held hostage, and then
they were already out, weren't they?
Negotiating.
I thought they
were they.
I think they got out.
That's true.
And
yeah,
like
they got out.
Back in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Why are they helping these guys out? I mean, it's okay. It's. The Prime Directive, again, I mean, doesn't apply to things that aren't humanoid, then, too.
Yes.
Because, like, technically, you shouldn't help this species out. If it can't get its own energy, it should just probably just perish, then, right?
Right.
I mean,
What if you superpower logic there? You superpower these things and they go on like a planet.
They've got a taste for your special energy that you're sending them. They're going to want to go seek it out now.
Yeah.
And they end up taking over the galaxy.
They become the crystalline entity.
You're right. This is the primordial phase of the crystalline entity. Basically, it becomes that when it grows up.
That's sad. I really liked the nebula effect. I think it's kind of, I'm now getting to a point in the series where I'm like, they've done this idea before. You know, it's like everything kind of feels like they're just redoing
the net thing. Yeah, they've done that before.
Done a net in a nebula that you can't get out of. So we'll redo that again. This one's a little bit different. I guess we're going to add some aliens into it. It's just I would have amplified, like, make it more of like a ghost story or something. You know, like if the alien changes into different people, that it can, like something like that. I don't know.
That could work. Or make more than just her seeing people that aren't there. I mean, they've done that before too, though, haven't they? They've done the thing with, maybe it's not happened yet. I'm trying to remember. There was some episode. Was it Crusher that had like a...
Oh, the ghost.
The ghost, the person that never came on board, and it was, they're stuck in a time
remember
loop.
Me. Yes, that
happened. That's
the
one.
Yep,
that's
yep.
the one, yeah.
That was, that's a better idea of how to do that. I guess, I don't know what the story would be if you just had multiple people that you saw and no one believed were true. I don't know. It's ultimately just... If I was this alien, I would have flown into Geordi's head and then, became Captain Picard and ordered him to shoot some energy into the field. And that doesn't happen whatsoever.
They also threatened to kill the they're like, oh, my friends are coming and they're going to kill you. How exactly? Was that ever explained? Because you're just a little, like, tiny ball of energy. I know you were, like, draining the shields at one point there, but...
Yeah, once
we figured
you get
that
through.
Out, we got out. So, what are you going to do to us now?
That was a pretty violent threat, though, to say we'll kill you all.
To a girl. little girl.
She's not a great actress. She remembered her lines, but it was not a great acting scene from her, which is unfortunate. I don't really have much else to say about this one. So I think we're just going to go to final thoughts.
Sounds good to me.
So we're going to take a break, going to play an audio clip for Imaginary Friend, and me and Modi will be back with our final thoughts and ratings for Imaginary Friend.
We know you've been on this ship for some time now, and that you're posing as Clara's friend, and that you've been threatening her. We can only assume that there is some connection between yourself and the life forms attacking this ship. You're obviously an intelligent being. There's no reason to hide from us. Talk to us? Can you only communicate by threatening a small child?
Yeah, hello, imaginary friend. We're back. This is episode 22 of season 5. Written by Brandon Braga, or teleplay credit goes to him. Edith Swenson is the co-writer of this. So I kind of imagine this would be a script that I would like to see the original version of this one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Where did this start and where did it end up kind of thing? Yeah.
I can almost see it. It seems to be one of those cases where it was written by an outsider and submitted to the show and they rewrote it. That's typically how the teleplay. When the teleplay goes to someone I've never heard of and then a staff writer, that seems to be the case for them.
Yeah.
So
it feels like it could have been like a short story someone wrote and then adapted to Star Trek.
Yeah,
also.
That's true. Yeah. next episode is the lottery. Picard draws the black dot out of the box or whatever. Yeah, I could see it being really dark somehow. And that being like, well, we got to brighten this up a little bit for TNG. Like, we need to make this less, scary or something like that. Because, she's got the threat of she's going to kill you. She shoots Troy with, a laser beam and knocks her out.
Well, they did do that, I guess. That was the one threatening thing. So they do have some power over people, I guess, to kill them. Maybe.
Yeah, that was another nonsensical script thing. She shoots her with, a beam of energy, right? And then yeah. Crusher goes, it looks like the energy was sucked out of her. And yeah. I was like, that's...
How did that work? It's not the same thing. It's not what happened. Makes the special effects look like what happened there.
That's the exact opposite of what happened, Dr. Crusher. So get your stethoscope out and see what's going on. Yeah, would you, on a scale of 1 to 5, what are you going to give this guy?
2.5. Yeah. I was thinking 3 earlier, but now that I've like had to think about this episode again, yeah, I'm going to go 2.5, actually.
2.5, yeah. I give it a 2. I think it's that. I think it fits that it's an okay idea that it's solid just horribly yeah. executed.
Yeah. Some good ideas in it, but not.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of detraction to it, too, at the same time.
Well, I mean, I watched it, and it's better than I remember. It was one of those episodes I always skipped, just because mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I don't want to watch this one. But I think it's better than that. It's just, it's not one I could just toss aside and never watch again. It's just kind of a boring show with a bunch of people that we never see again and don't matter to anything. Although I'd like to see a spinoff of the Sutters.
Yeah.
Sutters in space.
Space Sutters. Yeah. Yes,
that's right. Well, 2.5 and a 2. I think that's it. There's really not much to say about this one. It's difficult. It feels also, it reminds me a little bit of episode you watched, which was the guy with the glowing John Doe, Transfigurations.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It feels a little bit like that, a little bit better written in terms of plot lines, but it definitely feels like it's like, well, it's the end of the season. What do we have left?
We need to burn some more episodes here. We got to get to the end, yeah.
Yeah, just you got an imaginary friend script. Great. Write that. We'll
adapt
do
it.
Something.
Adapt Make it. Work.
Cool. Well, Modi, thanks for coming on.
No problem.
Guys, thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed the content, you're on YouTube, like it, a comment. Appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, a rating and review helps get the show out there. Some good comments recently. I read a bunch of them on episodes. We're recording these out of order, so they're going to be coming up in a future episode. But thank you very much for listening. We're going to close out season 5 pretty soon, which is exciting. Move on to season 6. But in the meantime, Modi is going to be back with not that one, not iBorg. What is the one we're going to do? Next phase.
Next phase.
So we'll see you in a week or so.
Next time.
All right, guys. See ya.